Welcome to the Junior Golf Blueprint, episode 40, presented by Matt Walter, PGA Tees Professional. Today's podcast, I'm going to bring some nuggets to you. I was out watching one of my kiddos play today and watched him play nine holes, and because the course is 10 minutes from my house, and it just was convenient to take advantage of an opportunity to watch, you know, one of your students. You should always do it, I feel like, as a coach, if you have the chance. And we went nine holes. I witnessed nine holes without any water or food being entered into the system. So we're going to talk about a little bit of hydration, nutrition, and things like that. And then also, I shared a car ride with one of my kiddos listening to a podcast, and I was trying to see if they were gleaning any nuggets from the information that the podcast was presenting. It wasn't mine. It was Brett McCabe's, actually. And so I want to bring about, it was an interesting thing I discovered. And, you know, if you have a parent, if a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 12-year-old, you probably know this. But I want to tell you how I approach the situation, and maybe it'll help you guys with making sure things are sinking into your kiddos. So let's crack into it. To start things off for today, we're going to talk about an effective course strategy for when you go out and play. Right now in Tennessee, it is anywhere between 85 and 95, and it easily feels hotter than that. And when we're going out to play, something that's easily overlooked, and part of the reason why I think it could be overlooked, is emotions in the moment is really easy when you're playing golf to forget to eat, forget to drink, because you may not have the desire to do so. I know for me personally, when I get overheated, I definitely don't like eating food. So that's a challenge for me. But the point being is I witnessed one of my players today chase around for nine holes, and maybe I missed a couple glimpses where there was some food and water intake, but the dad and I were chatting and we don't think there was. You just can't do that. By the time your body needs the fuel, you've already been running on E for too long. So what you have to be able to do is, despite whether you're playing really well or really bad, and that's usually when the emotional roller coaster is the highest and the lowest and it's easiest to forget, we have to be able to have a game plan for what we do to drink and eat throughout the round. Now, everybody's different. Everybody's needs are different. I'm, you know, a full-grown man, so I drink a lot of water, versus an 80-pound kid may not require as many ounces of water as what I do. I'm not a doc, so I couldn't tell you the exact ratio. But you as a parent probably know your kid the best, and trial and error will tell you what's successful and what's not. Now, I'm just speaking from my personal experiences and what I do. I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you the exact science behind it, but I just know what has worked for me and what works for some of my players. And the first thing I would tell you is look into electrolyte drinks that don't have the sugars of the Gatorade and the Powerade, because the sugary drinks of Gatorade and Powerade bring on a crash just as fast as they help get your hydration back up. So despite, you know, LeBron James or Kobe Bryant telling you how great it is, there are plenty of other brands out there. I personally use Amino Vital and a brand called Onnit, O-N-N-I-T, for mine, where there's very limited amounts of sugar and a much more even keel release of the electrolytes and without the sugary crash at the very end of it. But my strategy for when I play in tournaments is I drink one of the energy ones, and they're just powder. You put in water and you mix it up, shake it up. I drink one of the energy ones to start before I tee off, or I make sure I finish it by the first hole. And then by the fourth hole or fifth hole, depending on layout, heat, demand of water, I do one of the electrolyte replenishing drinks. So, you know, Amino Vital has kind of more of a golf-specific branding anyways, and they have their Pro-E, and I drink that first, and that's their energy one, and I drink the Focus Zone, you know, mid-nine. And I do the same formula when I make the turn. So I make another energy one at the turn because, you know, we're halfway through. I need another kick up, another boost. And then I do another electrolyte in the middle. And, you know, the Alani drink I use a lot for working out It's more of a mineral electrolytes. So again, there's a lot more healthy benefits to it. And so again, that's kind of like the minimum bar for me is those four drinks is, you know, energy and then electrolyte replenish and then energy and then electrolyte replenish. And that's like the minimum usually. And I'll probably grab two or three other waters throughout the round. So if you think about that, I mean, my water bottles are 20 ounces a piece. That's 80 ounces minimum of water with some form of electrolyte replacement going back into my body. And, if you get to the point where you're not sweating, that's bad. Like, you want to be sweating as much as it's not good to sweat. As far as your grip goes, you want to be sweating. The minute you stop sweating, you're heading down the quick route of a heat stroke. And so that's kind of my strategy there. And so as far as food goes, I know it's tough with kids to try and get them to eat something just in general. So granola bars are usually good. You know, fruits are fine. Usually it's a little too much sugar, so I would probably stick the you know, I prefer like a trail mix or a jerky, you know, and for me, I'll do like this, you know, straight up peanuts, M&Ms and raisins. And sometimes I cheat a little bit and throw goldfish in there, even though it's not the healthiest of options, but I throw a little goldfish in there cause I'm still a kid at heart and they still taste good, but you know, and then constantly eat. And so write down on your scorecard. This is what I do is I'll write down my scorecard, you know, hole one, finish this drink, hole five, finish this drink. You know, hole 10, finish the next energy drink and then finish the next electrolyte drink by, you know, 14 or 15. And then on another, like, you know, 2 and 4 and 6. And I mean, every other hole, maybe I'll write down, eat a little something, just eat something. Again, for me, eating's hard, when I'm super hot, but I know I need it. And that's the stuff you have to curb when you're out playing competitively is that you can't let the frustration or the heat take over to the point where you don't drink. And the same thing goes when it's cold. When it's really cold, it's easy to forget that you need to hydrate. You might not be sweating out as much. You may not need as many drinks, but at the same time, you know, you can easily work your way through it because you're still exerting yourself. So yeah, it's just something important that I want to remind everybody. I mean, it's middle of July. It's crazy hot in most places by this point now, and you just got to really be careful with it because, you know, worst case scenario, it's going to affect your, you know, your body to the point where you might be hospitalized. But, you know, in the reality is when you starve your brain, you can no longer perform. You will reduce your performance. And in golf, where the game is so mental, you just can't afford to starve your brain of the things that it needs to be excellent at the game. I mean, the physical part is the easiest part in golf. It's the mental part that separates good from elite. And if you deprive your brain the ability to go to that elite status, you're just making it that much more difficult to win your golf tournament. So don't deprive your brain of the nutrients it needs so you can go out there and get her done. So just want to drop that little nugget on you guys. I feel like that was a little bit of a good tidbit that, you know, again, I watched today. And it wasn't just my player. I was watching, you know, a bunch of kids that were going around and, you know, not really seeing a whole lot of drinking or eating happening. And it, you know, it's just unfortunate. So just be aware of it, and parents, watch your kids. I mean, just be attuned. If you go out and watch your kids play, just really pay attention to that. So the second part of today's podcast I want to talk about is, you know, we provide all this information to our kids, and, you know, how much is being retained, I guess, is a good question. And I was sharing a car ride with one of my juniors on the way to work, and I asked him if you want to listen to a podcast, and he was actually said, yeah, listen to episode 39 with your mental guy. And I said, yeah, Dr. McCabe is pretty good. And asked, what'd you learn from it? And he goes, well, it's crazy that girl's not going to get a scholarship because of her dad. I said, okay, yeah, it's kind of nuts and unfortunate, you know, and those things happen, and, you know, it's sad, but what'd you learn that would help you? Well, I don't really remember. And I'm sure, you know, if you're a parent listening to this, you've probably banged your head against a wall plenty of times to have that moment of, like, why is it going in one ear and out the other? And, you know, I'm new to this game. I only have a two-year-old, or almost a two-year-old, and a newborn. But the thing that shocked me was, like, okay, you know, we're giving you this information to make you better. We need to find a way to make sure that it's being retained and you're learning from this environment. So I said, you want to listen to another podcast and hear from the doc and on the way in? He says, sure. Well, unbeknownst to him, I randomly just stopped the tape. And it was, you know, we're about 5, 6, 7 minutes in, something like that. I said, what did you just talk about there? And I don't know. I don't remember. And it's like, you know, to me, it was like, holy cow. Like, you know, seriously going in one ear and out the other, and this is just background noise. And he's not on his phone. He's not playing or anything. It's just background noise. And so I said, okay, well, let's listen and that. Let's try and take something away. And I rewind the tape and listen to it again. I said, what'd you get from this? And then he just repeats the phrases that the doc said in his podcast. And I said, okay, great. That's exactly what doc said. How does it apply to you? And, you know, and so we had to really, like, digest it. And, I think it was a 16, 17-minute short little podcast he put out. And, you know, we spent the better part of a 30-minute car ride really diving into it. We only got halfway through the podcast because, you know, I was trying to make sure that what was being heard was being taken and applied to him. And this is the part where I think as us as parents and coaches have to really take an opportunity to, if we're having our kids try and learn these things and listen to podcasts and read books, you know, one, we have to know what is being provided to us. But two, I think it's good to randomly have the kids quizzed on, you know, hey, what'd you learn of that? How are you going to apply that information? Like, you know, there's a reason why I'm having you listen to it. And it's not so that you can just, you know, hear these words that are uttered, but it's so that you can apply it to your game and to who you are. So to keep going down this avenue, we kind of kept diving into a little bit snippets and slowly started to piece together how this is applying to him and what, you know, he gains the benefit from it, and not just, you know, somebody on the other end of a mic spurting out a whole bunch of information. And so what I would tell you as a parent is, you know, take that time to, you know, randomly stop a podcast and, you know, hey, what'd you learn from that? Or, hey, how are you going to utilize these tools that are being presented? And take the time to chat with it. And maybe they didn't hear it. Maybe, you know, it's really easy for us to assume that information is going in and sinking in when it's not. And, you know, in the kids these days, we have all this great technology, but it's also ruining our attention spans. And so, you know, sometimes we might only have to listen to a 2 or 3 minute segment and find that gap in between lectures to really sit down and chew on what was being said. And that's where us, like I said, us as a coach and a parent have to do that, because the kids don't know better. And I think that's the only way we're really going to digest the information. The ease in which we can tune out, and it just goes in one ear and out the other. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. And I mean, I'll tell you right now, my wife will also tell you that I'm without a doubt bad at hearing everything I need to hear. So it's something I'm working at myself. But take that time to, you know, really quiz into it. And I think there's plenty to be gained, and it might help spark conversation between you and your child that otherwise you might not have had. And if you're doing this already, that's great. Good for you. Like, that is A-plus stuff. But, you know, this could be an opportunity to really learn that, you know, hey, my kid wasn't really interested in learning that. You know, wonder why. And, you know, why didn't you take anything away from this? How does this make you feel? Do you feel like this isn't being applied to you? Or do you feel like this is not something that you struggle with? Am I not giving you the right information? Do we need to, you know, think about again what is actually applicable to our situation? So there's a lot of avenues this can go down that could be very beneficial to the growth and the knowledge to be gained for both the parent and the kid. So just next time you're listening to a podcast or having your kid read a book or something along those lines, just, you know, randomly just kind of pop up there and say, hey, what'd you learn? You know, and play dumb and have them explain it to you. And, you know, if they can't, then try and help them coach it along and just kind of follow that route and see where it takes you. I'd be curious to see what people find out when they actually take the time to have their kids get quizzed in the information. And, you know, I'd be curious to hear y'all's feedback on that, because I've done it a few times now and it's been interesting, because what they learn from something isn't what I learn from it sometimes. And then we share ideas and learning what their perspective on it is, you know, sometimes changes mine, and sometimes I help change theirs to a more appropriate one. So a lot of things to be taken into consideration there. So think about that as you go forward, going through these podcast journeys and having information sharing. Make sure the message is getting, my dad used to say he was trying to drive a nail through a steel skull. So make sure it's getting in there and penetrating the skull and actually getting absorbed. Okay, everybody, so let's break it down. We had two good topics talked about today, and before we part ways, I'm going to instill another good quote for you along with a action plan based on goals. I've had a lot of chat with kids. I got a few kids going to US Kids Worlds here in a few weeks, and you know, the planning period for this event has started months ago, but we have 3 weeks left. So as we move towards our goal of US Kids Worlds, we've had to do a lot of homework, a lot of practice, a lot of prep in tournaments, and playing in tournaments, getting ready, finding out our weaknesses to be stronger for the next event. And so with that, the quote today is about goals, and I think there's a good bridge that can be made between, you know, setting a goal and actually moving towards achieving that goal. And so our quote today goes like this: discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. And I listen to a lot of Jocko Willink's podcasts, and he talks a lot about discipline. Discipline equals freedom. And I think this quote, you know, continues to highlight that statement. And the way I interpret it is we have to be able to set the goal and then every day do a little something that strives us towards achieving it. So with that, I got a couple things here for you that I think will help you achieve your goals and move in that direction of accomplishing what you want out of your golf game and maybe even in life. So, and for the adults, you've probably heard this before, but you want to set SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T, specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. So a specific goal obviously has to be well-defined, and the more generalized your goal is, the less, you know, you're going to be able to find a direction in achieving that goal. So you want it to be very specific and very defined on where you want to end up. A measurable goal can include all kinds of different things when it comes to golf. It could be statistics, fairways, proximity to the hole, putts made from a certain distance, fairways hit, balls lost out of play. I mean, it can be a whole lot of things that are measurable in golf. So that's probably the easiest one for a golfer because we measure so much in this game anyways. Attainable goals. We want to make sure the goal is achievable. So asking for a castle in the clouds may not be the most achievable goal that's attainable. But we can obviously set up parameters. If you're a 90s shooter and you're constantly in the 90s and you haven't broke 80, a good goal is to just crack that threshold of 90 and shoot 89. But to say you want to shoot 70 in the next month, then you better get out there and start practicing like a tour player. So there's definitely a meaning that helps you set attainable goals, and I think you just have to know where you are and where you want to be, and that kind of goes into the time portion of it, which we'll talk about later. But what can you achieve in the time frame given? A relevant goal is the R in SMART. The goal should be relevant. And it's pretty self-explanatory in the sense that if you're a golfer, there's a lot of relevance in the goals we set. So to get better, lower our scores is probably the most relevant. But we also have to know the little stepstones along the way that will help us lower those scores than just saying, I want to shoot lower. So you want to make sure it's consistent with your plan that you know, if you hit 14 fairways around, or let's rewind that. Let's say you hit 12 fairways around, a relevant goal would not be to say to hit more fairways. Or if you hit 11 to 14 greens around, you shouldn't be setting a goal to hit more greens. Maybe it's the same number of greens, but closer to the hole. So again, find that relevant goal. And then time bound. Give yourself a deadline. You know, I will do this by now, and if I don't achieve it, then I'm going to give myself another window. But set a time restraint in which you have to achieve it. Maybe you want to achieve 2 varsity letters by the time you're done high school, or you want to be a 2-time All-American by the time you're done college. You know, set the parameter and then figure out what you have to do that and achieve that goal. So with that, I hope you've had a great experience in this podcast. I look forward to giving more information to you guys. If you want to get more involved, go find us on Facebook, Junior Golf Blueprint. You can also find me personally on social media at Matt Walter PGA, and we'll get you guys rocking. We're starting to hash out the Golf Talk America process and get that thing running too, so I'm really excited about that. And if you guys want to be on the podcast, you got something to share, you have some great stories from the summer, you have some great goals that you've achieved, or you've won some tournaments that you've had to overcome some serious controversy, like coming from way from behind or something crazy, love to hear those stories. Love to have you on here, and let's spread the wealth and share the knowledge of what it took for you to get that done. And we love hearing those kind of things on here anyway. So with that, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.